ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. அதாதோ ப்ரஹ்ம ஜிஜ்ஞாஸா ஜன்மாத்யஸ்ய யதஹ சாஸ்த்ரயோ நித்வாத் தத்து சமன்வயாத். We are seeing the significance of the word tu in the fourth sutra, tattu samanvayat, and Acharya points out that tu signifies the negation of all purva pakshas and negates two types of purva mimamsa mathams, and now he negates the vrittikara matham elaborately. So Vrittikara said, Brahmajnanam will not give moksha, but Brahma Upasana only will give. So first Acharya said, moksha could not be Upasana phalam, because moksha is Ashariratvam, Brahma Bhavaha. Either way, moksha cannot be result of Upasana. And secondly, he pointed out, if moksha is Upasana phalam, then that moksha will be anithyam, because that which is produced in time will be perishable. And thirdly, he said, upasana cannot be the central theme of Vedanta, because it is samanvaya virodaha upakramadi shadlingaihi nirnita artha. So if it is central theme, it would be part of atato dharma jignyasa. It cannot be independent Shastra, and in the Shastra it is mentioned that all sannyasis renounce all upasana phalam. Lokeshana tyagaha. Loka here means upasana phalam. Since upasana phalatyaga is mentioned, upasana cannot be central theme. And fourthly and finally, he said, Brahma upasana is not possible because Brahman is not an object of meditation. It happens to be the very subject. And the Upanishad very clearly says, Nedam Yeditam Upasate. Therefore, Brahma Upasanaya Mokshaha Iti Bhaktum Naiva Shakyate. Up to this we saw yesterday. And until now, Acharya gave his own arguments. Now Acharya refutes some of Vrittikara's statements and specific questions also. Number one, Vrittikara said that Brahma Jnanam cannot give moksha because Jnanam can never give any benefit and it has to be put into some kind of action. In this regard, he was very similar to the Bhattamatam and Prabhakaramatam that we also saw. And joining these two, Vrittikara argued that Kevala Jnanena Kimapi Prayojanam Nasti. Knowledge should be followed by action. And he also quoted Jaimini's Sutra. In the last class we saw, Amnayasya Kriyartatvatim Anarthekam Atadarthana. Veda will be useful only when it instigates you to some action or the other. Therefore, if Vedic statements do not involve any action, they are apramanam. Therefore, its main contention is, without action, it is useless knowledge. Therefore, he says, vidhi vakyani are pramanam, as all commandments involve action. Therefore, all avidhi vakyani, non-commanding statements, are apramanam. They are not pramanam at all. They are called arthavada vakyani. And Shankaracharya negates this also. And he asks, do you accept Nisheda Vakyams in Veda, like for example, do not harm anyone, do not eat meat, do not drink liquor, are they Pramana Vakyams? They are as valid as Vidhi Vakyams. And what action is involved in all of them? After knowing that I should not drink liquor, what should I do? I should not drink. Is it an action? Avoidance of something is not an action, and it is but absence of action. Therefore, Nisheda Vakyams do not produce any action. Avoidance is but Audasinyam, We use the word, I do nothing many times. I do nothing. And it is not a type of action. Nishedha Vakyam retains actionlessness and do not produce any action. That is Acharya's contention. So Nishedha Vakyams are Pramanam. Even though Kriya Sambandha is not there, no action is involved. Vedanta Vakyams are also Pramanam Eva Saprayojanatvat, because they are useful. And therefore, the Jaimini Sutra, Amna Yasya Kriya Tattvat, that Sutra will not apply here. Acharya categorically rejected that. And in some cases alone, Vidhi is Pramanam, actionless statements are also Pramanam. And this is the fifth argument. And the next question, specific question, the Vrittikara asks, you say, Brahmajnanam eva moksham dadati. After Brahmajnanam, upasana is not required. Brahmajnanam itself will give you moksha. That's what you say, the Vedantin says. Then he asks, Vrittikara asks, if that be so, all Vedantic students should be muktas, since they gain knowledge by the study of Vedanta, and all must be liberated people. But what do we see? The Vrittikara says, Shruta Brahmanaha Abhi Yata Purvam Samsaritva Darshanat. I have interviewed several such students of Vedanta and I asked them, are you free or are you Jivan Mukta? Will you get Videha Mukta? When such a question, specific questions were asked, always they started with what? If, but, whether, all those classes they put. From this we know, mere Vedanta Jnanam is not enough. And no one claims I am Muktaha even after years of listening of Vedanta. Therefore, after gaining knowledge through Shravanam, one has to do Upasana. That is what who says? Vrittikara says. And Acharya says, I never said a student or listener of Vedanta will be free, will be a Muktaha. But what I say is, a knower of Vedanta is definitely free, not a listener. It should be very clear, I am Atma. Listeners are many, but knowers are only few. Knower will say, I am free. And it is Upanishadic information. It is an eternal fact. Where there is Jnanam, no question of samsara. And where there is samsara, no mukti at all. Therefore, jnanat eva kaivalyam, and after jnanam, no upasana is required. Then comes the next question. If you say Vedanta jnanam or aham brahma asmi jnanam gives moksha, why should Vedanta prescribe nididhyasanam at all? Nididhyasanam is meditation, Vedantic meditation. After study of Vedanta, this is the question of Vrittikara. Why at all you should do nididhyasana? Acharya says, yes. Upanishad says and stipulates Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. And I say, these two are meant for Jnanam only, Shravanam and Mananam. They are not practiced after Jnanam. They are practiced for Jnanam. And how do we say that all these are meant for Jnanam? For that he says, Shravanam is main sadhana, which gives Jnanam. Aham Brahmasmi Jnanam, it gives. It reveals my nature. It is called Angi Sadhana, which produces knowledge. Even though Jnanam takes place, there are obstacles obstructing Jnanam to gain moksha. Not that Jnanam has any capacity, but there are obstacles. One is what? Doubt, which comes from my own intellect or other darshanas. They say, you be a part of Brahman. If I accept Dvaitam, I cannot accept Advaitam and vice versa. If I am whole Brahman, I cannot be part Brahman. If I accept one system, it presupposes negation of another system. If in Advaitam, Jivan Mukti is possible. In other systems, it is not possible. Therefore, even an iota of doubt should not be there. So this is another obstacle. Habitual notion that Atma is something else and I am something else, that is an obstacle. I should be free and certain that I am Brahman. We always contradict our statement, and on the other hand, we complain at anatma level. We should not take atma as a third entity. It is called viparita bhavana. So sat pratibandha jnanam is as good as ajnanam and cannot give any benefit. There should be no pratibandha at all. So shravanam gives jnanam, mananam and nididhyasanam remove obstacles of doubt whether I am part of Brahman and all that. In heart of hearts, I can accept only one and I should reject the rest. Mananam is aimed to eliminate all other systems of philosophy. I should have doubt-free knowledge. I should know what is right and what is wrong. Clearly, respecting a person is one thing and accepting a philosophy of one person is another. Respecting is a duty and accepting everything else is sign of confusion. So mananam removes samshaya pratibandha, doubts. Obstacles arising from doubts. Finally comes nididhyasana. It removes the notion of looking at atma as third person. Start looking at atma as first person. Atma as third person attitude should go. It is called reorientation of the way of thinking. It is called nididhyasanam. It does not give jnanam and moksha. It only removes the obstacle. It converts knowledge with obstacles into obstacle-free knowledge. Then one gains moksha. Imagine, for example, a bulb and there is a switch. And the connection through wires and all can be considered as the sadhana, chatushtaya sampatti. So switching on is shravanam. Sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is the connection. The bulb burns and destroys ignorance. I switch on the light, yet it is dark. Then you check everything else. Everything else is okay. And why it is still dark? Because two very thick black cloths, they are covering the bulb. And suppose we ask the question, can light remove darkness? Yes, it can. But between light and removal of darkness, what we need to do is what? To first remove the dark cloth. Then did light remove the darkness or removal of the cloth remove the darkness? Removal of dark cloth is removal of obstacles only, and ultimately light alone removed the darkness. Unobstructed knowledge gives moksha similarly. So after jnanam, nothing is to be done to gain moksha. Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, they all give unobstructed knowledge, which gives moksha. And in vrittikara matam, one expects moksha. In nididhyasanam, no expectation of moksha at all. I am either free or I am never free. There is a lot of difference between the meditation they talk about, the vrittikaras talk about, and the one in the form of nididhyasanam, the Vedantin talks about. Shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam put together gives knowledge. All three play limited roles, and the ultimate result is of the three is jnanam. After jnanam, one need not do anything. Therefore, Brahma Upasana is not prescribed in Vedanta. Then comes the last Purvapakshi. Acharya has established there is no karma involved in Vedanta because karma belongs to Karma Kanda. In Jnana Kanda, there is no karma at all. So while negating karma, he negated Upasana also because Upasana also is karma. Karma is Kayikam karma and Upasana is Manasam karma. So neither gives moksha. And the Vrittikara says, you say there is no moksha by karma and upasana. And jnanam alone gives moksha. Then he asks, is it not jnanam also karma? What a question. Is it not jnanam also karma? If we take mental activity as karma, why not jnanam also be karma? He asks, if you negate upasana, I will negate your jnanam also. Then Acharya gives a technical answer. He says, jnanam does not come under karma. Even though upasana and jnanam are both vrittis, Upasana vritti comes under karma and jnana vritti or nididhyasanam does not come under karma. And Shankaracharya says that jnanam depends upon object of knowledge. It is called vastu tantram. Vastu is the object of knowledge, visheha. Whereas karma depends on the subject of action, kartru tantram. So vastu tantram and kartru tantram. So jnanam depends upon object, karma depends upon the subject. In the class, for example, you do two types of work. When using your ears, you are hearer. Then you make notes, if at all you take notes, let us say. Then the writing function is by your karmendriyam. You are a karta, you are a writer. The moment you are a hearer, what you hear is not under your control, and it is under the control of the object, because I determine your hearing. Whatever I talk, you have to hear, unless you physically close your ears. So we say, jnanam is prameya tantram, not pramana tantram. Jnanam is prameya tantram and not pramana tantram. What vritti should happen also is not in your control. The moment you become a writer, functioning behind your hand, the operating depends upon not on the object, but depends upon the subject, yourself. Some take notes, many do not take notes. You have choice. And even if you write, you have the choice what you should write. You may do anything. Therefore, writing is under your control. But hearing depends upon the object alone. And the second difference is the same as the first difference, but put in a different language. Jnanam is dependent upon the type of pramanam you use. So it is pramana tantram. Whereas karma, especially in Shastra karma, is dependent on Shastra, Shastra Vidhi, or it is called Chodana. And it is Chodana Tantram Karma, Shastra Vidhi. We'll explain. So what type of world I experience depends upon the type of Pramana I operate to experience the world. If I operate Shrotrendriya, my ears, the object of knowledge depends upon Shabda Prapancha. When I use Chakshurindriyam, my eyes, it is Rupa Prapancha I experience. So as a Pramatha, the type of experience depends upon the Pramanam I use. I do not have a choice. That is why, for example, I am in meditation. In the neighborhood, there is some wedding or some film music, something is going on. The ears are open. And I don't have any choice with respect to hearing. All those sounds will definitely enter my ears, whether I like it or not. Therefore, it is Pramana Tantram, whereas Karma is Chodana Tantram, based on Shastra Vidhi. And Shankaracharya gives an example here. In Chandogya Upanishad, there is one particular Vidya called Panchagni Vidya. We read all that thing during that time. It talks about a type of meditation in which various things in creation are to be seen as Agni, fire principle. And in that final portion, it says, Purushaha Vava Gautama Agnihi. May you, O Gautama, may you look upon the male, the father, as the fire principle. And finally, it says, Yosha Vava Gautama Agnihi. You look upon the female, the mother, as fire, both. So this type of meditation depends upon Chodana Tantram, as it is Shastra Vidhi. Therefore, it comes under Chodana Tantram. And it is a type of karma or upasana. Suppose one sees a man as a man, or a woman as a woman. It is because of Shastra Vidhi. It is not Chodana Tantram, Shastra Vidhi, but seeing a man as fire is Chodana Tantra. Therefore, seeing a man as man is knowledge, but seeing a man as fire is upasana. Seeing stone as stone is jnanam, but seeing a stone as God is upasana karma. Seeing stone as stone, we have no choice because it is a fact. But seeing it as God, you have your own choice. He may see it as something else. So the third difference is karma can produce four types of results. This we have seen earlier also. One is called aptihi. Aptihi means reaching a place. Second is utpattihi, producing something. Third one is samskaraha, purification. And then vikaraha, modification. These four things. So aptihi, utpattihi, and then samskaraha and vikaraha. So one of the four results happens in karma. Whereas jnanam cannot produce any one of the four results. It only reveals a thing as is, but it does not produce anything. Imagine, for example, I know about Himalayas in a book, Manasarovara, Kailas. By this knowledge, I don't reach anywhere. Before knowledge, I am seated here, and after knowledge also, I am seated here only. Similarly, by karma, I can produce something, and suppose I gain knowledge of how to produce a mango tree. By that knowledge, I don't produce any mango tree at all. Jnanam does not produce anything. It does not purify anything. After vacation, for example, you come back home, you have a dusty house. You thought it should be all cleaned prior. It doesn't get cleaned unless you clean it. So knowledge reveals an impure thing as impure thing, or a pure thing as pure thing. Knowledge cannot purify an impure thing to be a pure thing. And that is why Acharya said in Viveka Chudamani, Chittasya Shuddhaye Karma Na Vastu Palabhyate Vastu Siddhir Vicharena Na Kinchit Karma Koti Bihi. If you want Chitta Shuddhi, you have to do karma. And Jnanam cannot purify. Karma alone purifies the mind. By gaining jnanam, I don't purify the mind. Then can I purify atma? Somebody can ask that question. No need to purify atma because atma is nitya shuddha. Jnanam does not purify. Jnanam does not modify anything. I am fat. By knowing that, I cannot convert myself to a slim body. Jnanam does not produce the four types of results. That is what are, but then what is the third difference now? Karma apyadi palakam bhavati. Produces, karma produces one of the four results as we just know vyapti and all that thing, but jnanam does not produce any of the four results. And therefore, jnanam and karma are different and not one and the same. Therefore, first difference is what? Jnanam is vastu tantram. Karma is Kartra Tantram. Second difference is Jnanam is Pramana Tantram, Karma is Chodana Tantram. And the first and the second are almost the same, two sides of the same coin only. And the third difference is Jnanam Apyadi Palakam Na Bhavati, Karma Apyadi Palakam Bhavati. Therefore, self-knowledge is not a type of karma and it does not produce anything. So then does not give moksha also. It is not producing anything. Self-knowledge. Self-knowledge is not a type of karma, we said. It is called, when we ask the question, does it not give moksha also? That is called Mule Kutara Nyaya. Mule Kutara Nyaya. The fundamental itself is negated, which is Jnanena Mokshaha. We have been telling through jnanam one will get moksha, that fundamental premise itself is negated if that question has to be that way. Yes, who said jnanam produces moksha? Acharya asks. Then what does jnanam do? Jnanam reveals the fact that I was, I am, and I ever will be muktaha, mukta purushaha. Jnanam reveals a fact. It does not produce, it does not reach, it does not purify, it does not modify. Therefore, Vedanta Shastram reveals Brahman as myself. And by that knowledge, I know I am free. And thereafter, I have nothing to do. Therefore, Jnanam is not karma. And after Jnanam, no karma is required. Then one may doubt now. Why should there be a karma kanda at all in the Veda then? We said, jnanam is not karma, and after jnanam, no karma is required. Similarly, jnanam is not upasana, and after jnanam, no upasana is required. then why karma kanda at all? Before jnanam, karma and upasana, they are required. Therefore, karma kanda and upasana kanda, they are not useless, but useful before gaining jnanam. They are neither useful during nor later, but they are useful before jnanam. So Shankaracharya concludes, vrittikara mata khandanam also here. So with this, we conclude the general analysis and the word analysis of the fourth sutra, Tattu Samanvayat. Now we have one more thing remaining, namely the conclusion part. Because I told each sutra will be analyzed, we will do a general analysis first, then we will do a word analysis, and then we will do a conclusion. Now first, I want to present the fourth adhikaranam in a technical format, which involves five factors. This we are familiar already because we have seen this in the other three sutras. If you remember, vishayo, vishayaschaivam, purvapakshastatottaram, sangatischedi panjangam, shastredim, karanam, smritam. Vishayaha, the subject matter. Subject matter is the entire Vedanta Shastram for the fourth sutra. The entire Vedanta Shastram, all the Shastram is the subject matter. And vishayaha or samshayaha, doubt, whether karma param or brahma param, whether it deals with action to be done or just revealing Brahman, does it merely teach or does it enjoin some action? Then the Purvapakshi says it is karma param, and Vedanta Shastra enjoins action. The reason is the well-known Jaimini Sutra, which we've repeated many times, amnayasya kriyatattvatim anartha takyam atadathana. That is, karma alone can give you something. Mere knowledge cannot. Mere theory is not enough, and it should be followed by implementation. Always R&D, research and development. All these things are all, knowledge alone is not adequate. So knowledge must be followed by karma. And some Purvapakshi says it should be in the form of physical karma, and some others say it should be in the form of mental karma. But that is not important. All Purvapakshis uniformly say mere knowledge is not enough. One has to do something. So people like do's and don'ts always. But Siddhanta is Vedanta Shastram is Brahma Param. It wants you to understand something. It is just a matter of clear understanding only. No need of any action. If chitta shuddhi or chitta ekagrata are not there, then do something. If one has got purification and concentration, once I come to Vedanta, you have nothing to do, something to know only. Why? Jnanena eva saprayojanatvat. By this mere knowledge, we get the benefit. Just as the rope knowledge, we get the benefit. What is the benefit? Fear of snake is gone. All by what? By the simple knowledge that it is only a rope and not a snake. And finally, sangatihi is another factor. Connection between the previous topic, previous adhikaranam and this adhikaranam. And this is, it's an akshepa sangatihi. The fourth adhikaranam happens to be an answer to an objection, akshepa, raised on the third adhikaranam. So third topic, an objection was raised, and fourth adhikaranam, the fourth topic, Tattva Samanvayat, it is an answer. It was said in the third adhikaranam, what it said? Shastra Yonitvat. Vedanta deals with Brahman in the third adhikaranam. Based on that, an objection was given. Brahman is not the subject matter of Vedanta, but karma is subject matter of Vedanta. And that is answered in the fourth adhikaranam, as karma is not the subject matter and it is Brahman alone is the subject matter. Tattu Samanvayat. With this, the fourth sutra and the fourth adhikaranam is concluded. With this, Chatusutri part of Brahma Sutra is over. And as I told you earlier, generally people, they tend to stop with these four sutras, because most of the topics, all the rest of the things are only elaboration of whatever is already talked. But we propose to go further and continue. as I mentioned earlier. The rest of the Brahma Sutra is only an elaboration or magnification of the Chatusutri only. We don't get any new knowledge, but it is going to be clarity and conviction. We will see several systems of philosophy, and Acharya will negate all of them, the way the analysis is done, how various philosophers, they are all, their doubts and their questions are, they are all extremely interesting and very, very thought-provoking. We will get thoroughness if we study the entire Brahma Sutra. Now with this, we will conclude the fourth sutra and we will take up the fifth sutra. Ikshatehe na ashabdham. That is the sutra. It is called Ikshatyadikarana. And the first sutra happens to be the first four topics also, or adhikaranams also. First adhikaranam is what? Jignasa adhikaranam. What did it say? Moksha. For moksha, one has to gain Brahma Jnanam through Vedantic inquiry. That is what the first sutra said. And the second adhikaranam, second topic given by the second sutra is Janmadi adhikaranam. Brahman is Nimitta Upadana Karanam of universe, both the intelligent and material cause of the world. And the third sutra is Shastra Yonitvat. So Shastra Yoni adhikaranam. Jagat Karanam Brahma is the central theme of Vedanta Shastram, and all other topics converge into this topic only. And the fourth topic that we saw, Samanvaya Adhikaranam, consistency of topic of Brahman. When we read this with Shankaracharya's commentary, the whole of Vedanta is comprehensively discussed in the commentary. Rest of the Brahma Sutra is only elaboration or magnification of the Chatusutri only. Now we will continue the study further. We don't get any new knowledge, as I told you, but it is going to be clarity and conviction. It also gives the method of thinking also. It refines the thinking pattern. We think we know, but actually we don't. In fact, after learning Vedanta, when we hear all these talks, one can see how illogical all those talks are of all other darshanas. What loopholes, meandering, they are all there, forgetting the central theme. Everyone goes around. We will see several other philosophers, and Acharya will negate all of them. We will get thoroughness if we study the entire Brahma Sutra. All doubts, everything will go away. Now we will first do a general analysis of the sutra. As I told you, three things we will do: general analysis, word analysis, and conclusion. And as we said earlier, the previous sutra, the fourth sutra, is the key sutra of the entire first chapter. That is why it is named as Samanvaya Adhikaranam, based on the fourth sutra. So from the fifth sutra to 134th sutra of the first chapter, it is only an elaboration of the fourth sutra only. We will see Vyasacharya's commentary on Samanvaya Adhikaranam in all those sutras. The whole thing is based on what? Jagat Karanam Brahman. Brahman is Chetanam Brahman, and that is why it is called Chetana Karana Vadaha, sentient. Chetana Karana Vadaha. So the idea is what? Material cause of the universe is a conscious principle and not mere matter. Very great revelation. Material cause of the universe is a conscious principle and not matter. It is very important. In other systems, material cause of universe is inert matter. So this is a very important difference in Vedanta. In Sankhya, Yoga, Nyaya, Vaisheshika, all of them, they are called Achetana Upadana Karana Vadaha, Achetana Vastu. Purva Mimamsa says, world is there eternally in this form. Therefore, they need not talk about any creation at all. Na kadachitim anidrisham jagate. Beginningless, endless. So we ignore the Purva Mimamsa. Vedanta says creation is Chetana Brahma Karanavada. So Vyasa points out from fifth sutra onwards this particular fact. Creation is Chetana Brahma Karanavada. Of course, we should remember బ్రహ్మన్ ఈస్ ఉపాదాన కారణం ఫ్రమ్ ది వ్యావహారిక స్టాండ్ పాయింట్ ఓన్లీ. వెరీ కేర్ఫుల్. బ్రహ్మన్ ఈస్ ఉపాదాన కారణం మెటీరియల్ కాజ్ ఫ్రమ్ ఓన్లీ ద ప్రాక్టికల్ రియాలిటీ. ఫ్రమ్ పారమార్థిక దృష్టి, అబ్సల్యూట్ దృష్టి, బ్రహ్మన్ ఇస్ నైదర్ కారణం నార్ కార్యం. వివేక చూడమని ఆచార్య నైస్లీ సేస్, ఏకమేవ సదనేక కారణం, కారణాంతర నిరాస కారణం, కార్యకారణ విలక్షణం స్వయం, బ్రహ్మతత్వమసి భావయాత్మని. కార్యకారణ విలక్షణం ఫ్రమ్ పారమార్థిక దృష్టి, దట్ ఇస్ నాట్ ప్రైమర్లీ డిస్కస్డ్ హియర్. ఫ్రమ్ వ్యావహారిక దృష్టి చేతన జగత్ కారణం. అండ్ అవర్ ఎఫర్ట్స్ విల్ బి టు నెగేట్ అచేతన జగత్ కారణ వాద ఆఫ్ ఆల్ అదర్ దర్శనాస్. అండ్ ద మోస్ట్ పవర్ఫుల్ అమంగ్ దమ్ ఈస్ ది సాంఖ్య ఫిలాసఫర్స్ అట్ వేదవ్యాసాస్ టైమ్. దే సే ఇనర్ట్ ప్రకృతి ఈస్ ద మెటీరియల్ కాజ్ ఆఫ్ ద వరల్డ్. Vedantins will negate that view in the rest of the present chapter. According to them, Sankhya's inert prakriti is the material cause. So the negation had started from the last adhikaranam when we studied the word tu, which we just concluded. When we negate Sankhya, it is as good as negating all others, all other achetanavadis. Including the scientists, the Big Bang theory, all of them. This method is called Prathama Malla Nyayaha. Prathama Malla Nyayaha. What is that? For example, when one person defeats the current world champion in wrestling, Malla Yuddham, or in any sports for that matter, indirectly one is considered defeating all other existing champions. During Shankaracharya's time, the main contender was Sankhya Matam. In the first chapter of Brahma Sutra, Sankhya was negated, showing they had no Shruti support, Veda support. In the second chapter, they are negated, saying they do not have Yukti support. Yukti support is logic. Logical support also is not there for them. So first chapter showed Sankhya is avaidikam, no support from Vedas. And from now on, we show Sankhya is ayuktam, illogical also. So let us first see what is Sankhya philosophy. We have to understand that first. And the second chapter of Gita is called Sankhya Yoga. And we may get confused. Sankhya mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita has nothing to do with this Sankhya, the Purvapaksha. Vedanta is called Sankhya. Because Sankhya is the Shastra in which Atma Tattvam is revealed. Srimad Bhagavatam's Kapila Muni is Bhagavan, the Lord himself, Kapila Muni in Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Sankhya of Kapila Muni is in Bhagavatam, that is Vedanta only. The Sankhya which we talk about here is propounded by another Kapila Muni. The original Sankhya Sutras are not available actually. What is the main source of Sankhya philosophy? It is Sankhya Karika. That is what is available. A small book of 70 plus slokas, authored by a person called Ishwara Krishna. Look at the name. He is Ishwara and Krishna. Kapila Muni, original Kapila, Kapila Vasudeva is also Sri Krishna, Lord Vishnu. He talks of 25 main principles or tattvas, Sankhya system. Talks about 25 main principles or tattvas required for our future discussion. It is all going to be coming in our future discussion. So we have to have some idea of what they are. First, we will discuss the creation talked by Sankhya philosophers. Sankhya philosophers, not by us. They say, before creation evolved, there were two beginningless principles, Nitya Vastus. Two of them were there. One is called Purushaha. It is anadi, it is anantam, it is chetana tattvam, it is asanga chaitanya tattvam, it is purusha. And the second is called prakriti. They call it moola prakriti, or by another name called pradhanam or mukhyam. And Shankaracharya uses the word pradhanam than prakriti. And prakriti is constituted of three gunas, the sattva guna, rajo guna and tamo guna. And here, guna is not property. Be careful. Here this Sankhya, the Prakriti, the Guna is not property, but substance itself. For example, if you take a rope, and the rope has three strands, the three strands intertwined together is a rope. They are intertwined together and form the main substance called the rope with three strands. So that is called Pradhana. In Nyaya, Guna is property, one of a substance, and in Sankhya, it is a constituent of Prakriti. Nyaya, Guna is a property, but and the form, the it form and forms the main substance called Pradhanam in Sankhya. So also Pradhanam is inert in nature. It is Achetana, material cause of the world. So Pradhanam or Prakriti is Achetanam and is the Karanam or the material cause of the world. And they talk about the steps as to how the world evolved. All are very interesting revelations. First, what the Pradhanam does, from Pradhanam, the next principle called the Mahat Tattvam evolves. Mahat is matter, evolved in the second stage. So Pradhanam first stage, from that Mahat evolved. Pradhanam is Karanam, and then Mahat becomes Karyam effect. And the next stage of evolution is Ahankaraha. And they say evolution takes place because of disturbances in the equilibrium of the three gunas. They are in equilibrium in Prakriti originally. And later, the proportion gets disturbed. And because of that, the creation evolves. Therefore, gunas in equilibrium is Prakriti or Pradhanam. And gunas in inequilibrium is Karya Prapancha Srishti. Therefore, Mahat is Karanam, and Ahankara is Karyam effect. And from Ahankara, so we had Pradhanam, Mahat, Ahankara. And from Ahankara, three streams flow. The first stream is Manas Tattvam, mind principle. Ahankara is Karanam and Manas as Karyam. And from Manas, nothing is created. Therefore, the first stream is what? Prakriti or Pradhanam, Mahat, Ahankara, Manas. That is the flow. And the second flow is from Ahankara, 10 sense organs evolve. Pancha Jnanendriyas, Pancha Karmendriyas, sense organs and organs of action. And from that, from the 10 sense organs, nothing else comes, nothing else is born. Therefore, this becomes the second stream of creation, namely, again, Prakriti or Pradhanam, Mahat, Ahankara, and 10 sense organs. And the third is, from again Ahankara itself, five subtle elements are also created. They are called Panchatanmatras Ayaka, Amba's name. Namely, Akasha, these are all subtle elements. Akasha, Vayu, Agni, Apaha, and Prithvi. But the subtle elements are not the final products. From the subtle elements, five gross elements are also created. From them, nothing new is born, from the grass elements. They are final. Therefore, the third stream is what? Prakriti, Mahat, Ahankara, five subtle elements, and then five grass elements. And there are three streams, and they are called evolutes in the process of evolution. So total is what? Purusha, Prakriti, Mahat, Ahankara, five subtle elements, mind, 10 sense organs, and five grass elements, totally 25 principles are there. And these 25 principles are categorized into four groups called Padarthas, namely Prakriti, Vikriti, Prakriti Vikriti, and Aprakriti Vikriti. These names may be confusing, don't worry, but once you understand, they are simple. In this entire context, Prakriti is Karanam. Whenever we say Prakriti is Karanam, Vikriti is Karya, effect. Therefore, the four groups are what now? Instead of Prakriti, you use Karanam. And then Vikriti, Karyam. Then Prakriti, Vikriti is Karana, Karyam. And Aprakriti, Vikriti is Akarana, Karyam. So, Karya, Karana, Vilakshanam, Ityartha. Now, Karanam is what? that which is the only cause and is never an effect. Karanam is that which is the only cause and is never an effect. It is a causeless cause. And karyam is that which is only karyam and effect, and it is never a cause. And karana karyam is both cause from one angle and effect from another angle. I am the son of my father and I am the father of my son. So I am karanam for my son, I am the effect for my father. And akarana karyam means it is neither cause nor an effect. So now with this background, if you see Purusha, according to Sankhya Matam, aprakriti vikriti is Purusha. That is, it is neither karanam nor karyam. Neither cause nor effect is Purusha. Causeless cause. And prakriti is the karanam of everything. So never karyam of anything. So and it is anadi, it is nityam, it is beginningless. Therefore, it is karanam alone. And third is mahat. Mahat is karyam with respect to prakriti and karanam with respect to ahankara. So it is prakriti vikriti. Similarly, ahankara also is prakriti vikriti. Similarly, subtle elements too. They are also prakriti vikriti because from subtle elements, cross elements come. Therefore, one plus mahat is one. And then for everyone, if you add ahankara and all that things, so one plus one plus five equals seven. They are prakriti vikriti. Finally, mind, sense organs, and gross elements are products only. After manastattva, nothing else was there. After sense organs, nothing else was there. After gross elements, also nothing else. So they are products only, but from them, no new principles were created. So all 16 products, and therefore, they are all vikritis. 10 sense organs, 5 gross elements, 1 mind, 16. They are all vikritis. Therefore, a total of 25 tattvas. And we require all of this in our discussion. And the main feature is, creation is born out of pradhanam or prakriti. It is achetanam, inert, jadam. But Vedantins say, the whole world is born out of chetanam brahma, a sentient being. So Vyasa is going to establish chetana karanavada and negate achetana karanavada. And now we will see some of the differences between Vedanta and Sankhya. Now Purusha. Purusha in Sankhya and Vedanta is Chaitanyam. There is no problem. Both are same. Okay. Both are asangaha. They say Purusha is akarta and we also say Purusha is akarta. But the main difference is they say Purusha is bhokta. We say Purusha is abhokta. Major difference is karta and bhokta are not identical for them. But in Vedanta, karta or bhokta are one and the same. Yaha karta saha bhokta bhavati. And the second difference is Purushas are many in number in Sankhya. In Vedanta, Purushaha is ekaha. Plurality of Purusha is unreal and it is a mistake in Vedanta. As many individuals are there, so many Purushas are there in Sankhya. Sankhya comes under Dvaitam, while Vedanta comes under Advaitam. That is plurality, this is not. And the third difference is, since Purusha is Bhokta really in Sankhya, every Purusha is a samsari jivaha. But in Vedanta, every Purusha is seeming samsari, but really not a samsari. In Sankhya, every individual is a real samsari, really pluralistic. And the fourth difference is Purusha is jnata, knower also, a pramata. But in Vedanta, Purusha is not a pramata, pramatrutvam adhyastam. It's an error. They say jnata is suffering from samsara because of ignorance. And when one gains knowledge, he gets moksha and prakriti will relieve him. This is whose argument? Sankhya's argument. So in moksha, prakriti withdraws from Purusha. They are different at Purusha level. then we will come for differences at the pradhana or prakriti level. These are all at the purusha level. Then at the pradhana level, prakriti level, what are the differences between Sankhya and our Vedanta? They say pradhanam is jadam, and we also say it is jadam. They say pradhanam is trigunatmikam. We also say prakriti is also trigunatmika. They say prakriti alone evolves to become the universe. We also, in several places, say prakriti alone evolves to become universe. Mayam tu prakritim vidyate mayinam tu maheshwaram. And also in Bhagavad Gita, prakritim purusham chaivam vidyanadi ubhavapi vikaramsya gunams chaivam viddi prakriti sambhava. Then the differences, what are the differences between them? They are very important. The crucial difference is, if that is not understood properly, it may appear that Sankhya is even correct. One has to be careful here. They say prakriti is also an independently real entity. According to Sankhya, prakriti is also an independently real entity, like Purusha. Therefore, prakriti alone becomes creation and Purusha does not do anything at all. This is called Swatantram Pradhanam. Pradhanam is prakriti here, it's Swatantram. This also indicates Sankhya is Dvaita Pradhanam. It says clearly consciousness and matter are separate entities. Both are independent entities. Whereas in Vedanta, prakriti cannot exist independently at all. It is not separate substance. It does not have satta of its own. Satta means existence of its own. Exactly like what? Purusha is like clay and prakriti is like pot. And pot cannot have independent existence of its own. The isness of pot belongs to clay only. Similarly, when we say prakriti is, the substantiality of prakriti belongs to Purusha only. Therefore, in Vedanta, prakriti is like a shakti of Purusha. As it cannot exist separate from the shakta Purushaha. For example, my speaking power, shakti, cannot exist separate from me. Shakti cannot exist separate from the shakta Purushaha, that is me. Even though speaking power alone speaks, it cannot exist separate from me. And therefore, I can say I speak through my speaking power, which is dependent on me. Prakriti is only a creative power of Purusha. Therefore, Purusha alone creates into the world through the creative power called Prakriti. Therefore, if Prakriti is independent entity, one can say Prakriti is creator. Since Prakriti is only a power of Purusha, one should only say Purusha only creates. Also from another angle also, when we say Prakriti is Upadana Karanam, one should know that Upadana Karanam alone should lend existence to the Karyam. If I have to say Prakriti is Upadana Karanam, that means Prakriti lends existence to the world. But Vedantins say Prakriti cannot lend existence to the world, because Prakriti itself has borrowed existence from Brahman. Prakriti is Maya. That means ultimately Brahman alone through Prakriti lends existence to the world. And another difference is Brahman alone being lender of existence is the Upadana Karanam of Srishti, the creation. And another difference is they say Prakriti is Jadam. And it is the material cause of the universe. Then we ask the question, for any creation, material cause alone is not sufficient. And you need an intelligent cause, Nimitta Karanam also. And what is the Nimitta Karanam? Nimitta Karanam must be Chetana Vastu, because it is intelligent cause. For converting Prakriti, the matter, into the world, we require a Nimitta Karanam. And if you ask what is that intelligent cause, the Sankhya philosophy says they do not have Nimitta Karanam because they have no Ishvara. They are Nirishwaravadis. And therefore, there is no intelligent principle to convert the matter into universe. Then what about Purusha? Why can't you take Purusha as the intelligent cause? They are not able to take Purusha as the intelligent cause because they have taken Purusha as Jiva, who is a bhokta, samsari, and he cannot be nimitta karanam of the world. So Jivaha is not omniscient, there is no Ishvara, and Ishvara is not nimitta karanam, and Jivaha is not nimitta karanam, and therefore in their system, Prakriti becomes creation naturally of its own. Like telling, for example, I kept a lump of gold in the box, and next day I opened the box, it all became beautiful necklace, bangles and all that. Therefore, in their philosophy, matter by itself, without any requirement of nimitta karanam, becomes the beautiful creation. This we don't accept, because we argue the requirement of a nimitta karanam, intelligent cause. Sarvasya karta, sarvajnaha, sarvashaktihi, Ishvara pekshitaha. And what type of Ishvara? Who is vyavaharika satyam, which is different from nirgunam brahman. A vyavaharika Ishvara, who is as real as the Jiva and Jagat, is required, which Sankhya philosophy does not postulate at all. Therefore, these are the differences between these two. One is Pradhanam exists independently. Number two, Pradhanam becomes world independent of creator. And because of these two reasons, they say Pradhanam is Swatantram. Whereas in Vedanta, we say Pradhanam depends upon Nirgunam Brahma for existence and depends on Saguna Ishvara to become creation. And the third difference is in the order of Shruti, Srishti also, there is some difference. We do not bother about it much because it does not cause any big issue to us. So according to Sankhya, from Ahankara alone, sense organs and mind have come. Whereas in Vedanta, mind and sense organs have come from five subtle elements alone. For example, if you refer to Tattva Bodha, if you remember, Etesham Panchatattvana Madhye Akashasya Satvikamshat Shrotrendriyam Sambhutam Vayoho Satvikamshat Granendriyam Sambhutam Agnehe Satvikamshat Chakshurindriyam Sambhutam. So if some of you remember, good. Otherwise, you can always refer to Tattva Bodha lectures. So from five subtle elements alone, Jnanendriyani have come, Karmendriyani have come, mind has come, all of them. Whereas in Sankhya philosophy, they come from Ahankara. Thus, there is a difference in the order. But we don't bother about that because, you know, in much because it's not relevant, need not be. We don't have to be bothered about in our discussions. In fact, in many places, we borrow actually Sankhya creation only. Bhagavatam is full of Sankhya Srishti only. And Shankaracharya says, that is why people get confused. Because when Bhagavatam borrows Sankhya Srishti, it validates Sankhya philosophy. And it appears as though Bhagavatam accepts Sankhya philosophy. That fact is that only the Srishti part of Sankhya philosophy is borrowed sometimes, but do not accept Sankhya philosophy because they have so many defects. And above all, they don't accept Ishvara. And therefore, we don't even go near them. This is when? In Vedavyasa's time. Therefore, we say, Sankhyam Avaidikam. Their teaching is totally against Vedic teaching. It is against Veda. They are not Nastikas. They accept Veda Pramanam. But their teaching is against Veda Pramanam. They say there is a Pramanam called Veda Pramanam, but they are against it. It is that Sankhya philosophy Vyasacharya will criticize in most of the following adhikaranams of this chapter. And how he does it, we will see in the following classes. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Yo Vedadav Swara Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishtitaha Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Parasamaheshwara Krishna Namaste.